In the end, Wall Street, with Obama, Duncan, Bloomberg, Walcott, and Goldstein as its agent, they want to turn public education into private, profitable businesses. They hope to impose factory regime of managerial control over educators' working conditions and our students, our children's learning conditions.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Ah, the good old days of Occupy Wall Street. And look, education right up there at the top of it, the privatization, as we've been railing on for years on this program. You look at someone like billionaire Betsy as the head of the Department of Education, who will push more privatization of K through 12 education, following the path that we've already done to higher education. And we've seen all of the stories and all of the collapsing of the private higher ed folks who have really bilked the taxpayer out of, in my view, out of billions of dollars, which is why I thought it was interesting that a new book has come out. Lower Ed is the title, The Troubling Rise of For-Profit Colleges in the New Economy. And I got to talk to the author, which is why we've got Tressie McMillan Cotton to come on the program. Tressie, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I look at, you know, the rise of higher ed and the privatization, the profitization as something that, you know, the K through 12 people are looking at right now with quite envy because they've done such a great job.
That is true. Done such a great job anyway of gaining access to both the political and economic capital to exist, right, that K through 12 has really struggled to do. So in that sense, yes, I think privateers in K through 12 do look at the success of for-profit higher education with a little bit of envy and watching and paying attention to their game plan because, again, it's been much trickier for them to pull it off in K through 12. But as you noted at the top of the show, these are the exact same processes, right? These are the exact same trends that are creating opportunities like the University of Phoenix and Strayer and ITT Technical Institute. Those are the same things that are happening right now with for-profit charters, for-profit online schools for K through 12.
Yeah, and the thing is they're selling you dreams. You can have that degree that you always dreamed of. You can have that degree, and it's going to get you ahead. And the reality is, one, from what I understand, you're the one who wrote the book on it. Most people don't get to finish it because, well, life jumps in the middle of it, or it just costs outrageous amounts of money. Or two, once you get the piece of paper, like I saw one on TV, they drove up in a bus and handed him his degree. It isn't worth anything because nobody recognizes it.
Right. So we now have enough data to show that despite what the for-profit college lobby, and it is a robust, active lobby, by the way, lobbying arm, has told us, for-profit colleges have not increased access to what higher education is supposed to mean. They have increased access to getting the piece of paper, but the piece of paper was never the point, right? The real point that what people were wanting to go to school for was for economic security. And we now know that there's way more demand for these credentials among insecure workers than there is in the labor market who hasn't shown willingness to pay people once they have them. And that's the best case scenario, right? The most likely scenario of those who enroll in for-profit colleges is that they will never get the credential at all.
Right.
They are more likely to drop out, as you mentioned, for many reasons, complicated reasons. But even if they do, the labor market does not seem to have a lot of interest in paying them.
No, and the thing is the other part of this to me is this is a huge taxpayer ripoff, because if you look at the amount of GI money that goes into this, and it's one of those things that doesn't get talked about in my view enough, these people are ripping our veterans off at really an alarming rate.
Well, no, absolutely. It starts, the growth of the, especially the for-profit college sector that I talk about in the book is this, you know, Wall Street-driven, financialized part of for-profit colleges. It wouldn't exist were it not for their ability to extract money from the GI Bill. That's literally ground zero for the expansion of for-profit colleges. And they rely on it heavily for lots of different reasons. I talked to some veterans in the book who expressed knowing that the education they were getting at the for-profit college was not typical or normal, right? They had lots of questions about its quality, about its rigor, but said, listen, I've been in the military, and that should be good enough for employers, but increasingly it isn't, and I don't have a lot of other options
right.
to sort of punch the right hole in the ticket, right, for employers. And that really is a problem for how we've made veterans vulnerable in this way.
Yeah, good point. But here's the thing, and this is one of those things that, you know, I hear you saying all this stuff, but at one point you had drunk the Kool-Aid, right? I mean, you were in the middle of this. You were one of the people doing this, right?
Absolutely. That's actually where my story begins. I talk about my life as sort of before graduate school, you know, before I become an academic and professor, and after. And before, I worked as an enrollment counselor in two different for-profit colleges in North Carolina. And this is why I started asking the questions the way that I ask them now as a sociologist. I worked with hundreds of students, and in no way were these people stupid or gullible, but they also weren't particularly savvy or cutting edge. And these are the ways that we have been talking about these students in public policy and public conversation. And I thought, well, if neither of those things are true, what did I know about those students that seemed more true? And what seemed more true is that these were millions of people who woke up in the 1990s and the early 2000s who were scared, right? They were economically insecure, and they were scared. And for-profit colleges had a marketing pitch that says, we can give you insurance against a rapidly deteriorating labor market, right? We will sell you insurance. We'll make you impervious to things like on-demand work, low wages, lack of unionization, right? If you have this certificate from us, you'll be safe. Well, that doesn't mean you're stupid. That means you're vulnerable.
Right. But here's the thing. I mean, our entire society has been sold that from almost birth at this point, that you have to go to college. You have
right.
to get college is the golden ticket to the middle class. Without it, you're in the right. you want fries with that world.
Yes, that's right. That's right. As I've heard the joke many times. Yes. What do you call a person without a college degree? Fries. You know, take fries with that. Absolutely. The problem with that is education can do a lot of wonderful things. I clearly believe in education, right? I got a lot of it myself, and I now teach other people. But education cannot solve what is fundamentally a problem for labor.
Right.
That's the argument. So when we were telling people to go to school for a good job, we forgot the part where we said there are now fewer good jobs to be had. There are fewer good jobs to be had, and we know that this is true. Education actually can't fix that problem for us. And in fact, what I argue is when we keep telling people to go to school as protection against what's happening in the labor market without addressing what's happening in the labor market, we make people ripe for the sort of predatory message that for-profit colleges have perfected.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And you know, I myself went to and got a degree from one of these. I'm not even sure how it is all finagled together.
Uh-huh.
But the education that I got, look, I did it as a hobby. This wasn't one of those moments where I'm going to get ahead and all this. I did it because I wanted the curriculum. I wanted the information. And it was pathetic. I mean, the mass of it, I was actually more informed than the facilitator, because they're not professors anymore. Because I went to normal, go-to-college professors.
Right.
They were much, much more better prepared, much smarter, and offered much more than these facilitators who just had you do weird, bizarre little My writing got a little bit better, but for the most part,
yeah.
I knew more than the people who were teaching it.
Oh, that's fascinating. So, I talk to many instructors and faculty members during the course of the book. They don't show up quite as much because they had issues with being on the record, which they should, because in a lot of for-profit colleges, they have signed non-disclosure agreements, which
right.
makes my job really hard. But the ones that I did talk to tell a similar story as to the one that you tell. And you know what? The reason that's true is that many of the faculty are not in control of the classes they teach in for-profit colleges. They get the curriculum on high from some sort of central office at the for-profit college who sends it out to every professor who has to teach it the exact same way, whether they know anything about it or not.
Yep.
And the reason for-profit colleges do that is they say it's less expensive, right? It's more cost efficient. It's one of those ways for-profit colleges save money so that they can extract more profit from the organization. And again, our relationship to profit and for-profit colleges is exactly the problem, and you see it show up in how faculty are treated.
Which is why I'm against the whole idea of profitizing education at all. It should be something that we, the people, do for the benefit of ourselves. It's part of the commons. It's like healthcare. Shouldn't be a price tag put on it. It should be what we do as a matter of course.
Absolutely. And we know this. This is what's so strange for me in writing this book. We know this, right? We've done this right before, or certainly closer to right, right? We know how to expand public higher education. We built, in the mid-20th century, the community college system from the ground up to one of the most massive public works programs in the history of this country in something like 30 years. We know how to do better. We know how to do this differently. We know how to create an educational commons. So this isn't about what's possible. This is about sort of the political choices we have been hamstrung with an ineffective sort of political body, really poor economic sort of choices that have been made on our behalf, to instead encourage profit-making in education instead of investing in public education.
It's mind-blowing. The book Lower Ed, The Troubling Rise of For-Profit Colleges in the New Economy, written by Tressie McMillan Cotton. We'll get a link at TheRickSmithShow.com of how you can pick this up. But here's the thing, and you go back to this, it's that sales job.
Yes.
And I've had conversations with a lot of people because, look, people don't like to think that they got ripped off.
Right, exactly.
I had my eyes open knowing that, look, there's no way that you're going to get the same kind of education you would get if you showed up every day to class and you sat in the classroom and you did all of the face-to-face stuff. But it was, I want something to do as a hobby. I want to be able to do this and all of that. But when you have those conversations with others, then they really kind of tell you the truth, which is, you look at what you've written in the book and it kind of is that insider's view. And the hope, I believe, is that maybe we won't continue to get ripped off by these predators.
Maybe so. I hope what I've done and what we can continue to do sort of collectively through like these kinds of conversations is give each other a better language, because it's just as you said, Rick, nobody likes feeling ripped off. Right. And nobody likes being said that they were prey and they've been preyed upon and that someone got over on them. Well, what I hope we realize is that you didn't have to be prey for your choices to be bad, that we've just set up things where you had to choose from among some very bad, poor educational choices, and that you aren't stupid for doing the best you can under limited circumstances, but that we owe each other better. Right. We owe each other better.
So last line of questioning I've got for you, for the policymakers looking at this, I mean, because there are people not just in Congress, but in state houses across the country who are pushing all of this, be it the higher ed, be it the K-12, the cyber charters, all of that stuff. What's the answer going forward? What should we, the people, be pushing for?
Oh, that's a great question, and it's a big question. So we are not in a very favorable climate at the federal level for those of us who want to push back against privatization in education, but I think that we still have a really good fighting chance at the local and state levels. I think that we have to continue to show up, not just at our school board meetings, which is where local K-12 policy is made, but I point out to people that for-profit colleges also have some state oversight in your state, and we should get familiar with how your state regulates them and how they license them, and we should become more invested in that as members of the body politic. We can show up at these meetings. We can talk back. We can ask people who are supposed to be representing our best interests to do a better job at the local and state level. That, in turn, I think, could put some pressure on the federal level of federal education policy.
But at the end of the day, it's being informed and understanding it, because, you look at these for-profit colleges. About, I guess, a year or two ago, where I'm at in Pennsylvania, there was a piece of legislation going around that said that colleges and universities could get charters. And there are a number of states around the country where, these for-profit colleges end up getting for-profit charter schools for K-12 to where they're monopolizing all of education. And, well, if you've got enough money, that's where you get to go.
Absolutely. I think that a K-16 for-profit higher education shadow system could be the death nail for public education and public good.
And to me, I've been saying that's the hill that the working class has to die on. We don't let education go. Again, the book Lower Ed, The Troubling Rise of For-Profit Colleges in the New Economy, written by Tressie McMillan Cotton. We will get a link at TheRickSmithShow.com. Tressie, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff. Thanks so much. Quick break. Right back. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. Your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Get up.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.